Mark chapter 4, we're going to begin reading at verse 35 of this chapter, and then read through verse 20 of chapter 5. Mark chapter 4, we begin at verse 35. What we hear now is God's Word. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even wind and sea obey him?" They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him any more, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains. But he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and bruising himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me. For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. And they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs. Let us enter them." So he gave them permission. And the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and were drowned in the sea. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country. And people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but he said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Tonight we continue our study of the life of Jesus in the book of Mark, and I think it's important to remind ourselves kind of where we are in Jesus' ministry. It's easy when we go through like this to lose sight of the forest as we look at tree by tree by tree. We began in chapter 1 looking at the beginning of Jesus' ministry and how it was announced and inaugurated and commenced. We saw Jesus' challenge in his ministry early on in chapters 2 through chapter 3, verse 6. And then in chapter 3, verse 7, we see Jesus' ministry proper beginning. That's where we're at right now, in that main part of Jesus' ministry. Chapter 4 began with some of Jesus' teaching ministry, his teaching in parables. And children, I hope that if I asked you by now, what was Jesus teaching about in the book of Mark, you would tell me he's teaching about the kingdom. That theme has been woven through the text of Mark so far. The teaching of the coming of the kingdom. And we looked at some parables about that kingdom. Faith in the kingdom, the parable of the seeds and the soils, the parable of the growing seed, how Jesus would have a kingdom like a mustard seed that would begin small, but grow great. He told many parables about the greatness of the kingdom of God. But let me ask you this. What is it that makes the kingdom of God so great? What is it that makes the kingdom of God so fantastic? It is that the King dwells there. The glory of the kingdom is but a reflection of the glory of the King. And that's what we're going to talk about in Mark chapter 4, verse 35, all the way through the end of chapter 5. This whole section about the power of King Jesus, the power of the King in the kingdom. Tonight, I have on the outline here, Power of the King, Part 1. We'll look at this again next week, Lord willing, Part 2. Tonight, the power of the King over the natural realm and over the supernatural realm. And next week, Lord willing, the power of the King over disease and over death itself. The power, the glory, the majesty of King Jesus. That's what makes the kingdom so great. Jesus Himself is King. We have the story this evening of Jesus' power over the natural realm. On that day that He had been teaching, evening was coming. He said, let's go to the other side of the water. And leaving the crowd, they took Him in the boat just as He was. He was tired. He had been teaching all day. And we get a bit of a glimpse into the humanity of Jesus in this text. A text which glorifies Him as a great King, but also as a human King. One who was a man. He'd been teaching all day, and He was tired. And He gets in the boat, and as they're going along, He falls asleep. Now that's a very normal thing to happen in a boat. Some of you know that my father-in-law has a boat, and at different times we've gone out on the ocean together. And as you're out on the ocean, and the waves are slightly rolling, and it's very easy to sort of relax, let your eyes drift shut, and fall off to sleep, being lulled to sleep by the waves. Jesus in the boat, going across the water, and He's asleep. Now that's easy to imagine when the waters are calm. But what happens? Jesus is there sleeping in the stern, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves are breaking into the boat, and the boat is already beginning to fill. And yet Jesus keeps sleeping. This was not a quiet time. The waves, the thunder, the lightning, the wind. The storm is coming up. And you can imagine, these are experienced sailors. They're not quietly calling to each other, don't forget to raise the sail, don't forget to move the rudder. They're yelling at each other, batten down the hatches, keep us safe, throw over the extra stuff. They were yelling. Yet Jesus continued to sleep. In all of this storm, the men are there doing everything they can to save themselves from the waves. And Jesus sleeps confidently. Jesus sleeps comfortably. Because Jesus knows what these men would learn. Jesus knows who is in charge. He knows who is the King. He knows who has the power even over the wind and the waves. They did everything they could to keep the boat afloat. And then when nothing they did seemed to be helping at all, finally they go to Jesus. They find Him asleep in the stern on the cushion, and they wake Him up and say, Teacher, do You not care that we are perishing? And Jesus speaks a word of rebuke. A word of rebuke to the storm. They have waited till this final moment, and Jesus, don't you do anything? Don't you care that we're perishing? And He wakes up and He rebukes
the wind and the sea, and Jesus says, peace. Jesus says, be still. And the storm calms. Imagine that, children. Jesus simply speaks a word, and the storm is calmed. We had some rain last night. We had another beautiful rainstorm this afternoon, just a couple hours ago. Can you imagine if that rain was coming down and the storm and the wind is going on and that I would go out and just say, peace, be still, and it would stop. How amazed we would be. Jesus out on the water, the waves breaking over into the boat. They're worried about perishing, and He stands up and rebukes, peace, be still. And the forces of nature obey the power of the King. Jesus was in control over all things. The storms were no match for His power. Even the wind and the waves and the sea itself could do nothing to the King of Kings. He rebukes them. Peace, be still. Jesus knew who was in control. He knew who held the power. And so He could rest securely in the stern of the boat. And then Jesus speaks to the disciples. Amazed as they were, shocked at what they had seen, filled with great fear, Jesus says, Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? They had been with Jesus. They had heard His teaching. They had seen what He had done. They had seen healings. They had seen feedings. They had seen His power displayed. And yet they were still so slow to trust. Have you still no faith? After all you've seen, after all we've been through together, why are you afraid? Didn't you know I would take care of you? Didn't you know you could trust me to care for you? And yet, when I read the response of the disciples, being afraid, trying everything they could on their own first, it's like an indictment against my own soul. Many of us have walked for years with Jesus, known Him to care for us day after day after day. We have heard His teaching. We have heard His instruction. And yet the waves of life begin to pound against us, and we do everything we can to fix it ourselves. And finally, Jesus, don't you care about us? And He simply says, peace. Have you still no faith? Have you been walking with me so long, but you still don't know that even in the midst of the storm, you can rely upon me? Notice, the storm still comes. Jesus doesn't promise them no storm. He doesn't promise them clear sailing. But in the midst of the storm, He is there with them. And they can rely upon Him to get them through. It's easy for us to look at the powers around us and to think that God, is there anything you can do? The world seems so strong. Society seems bent against Christianity. We see marriage under attack. We see various forces coming against the church. And it's so easy to see those waves pouring over the boat and almost sinking us. And we say, God, aren't you doing anything? And with but a word, He can remind us, peace, be still. The King is stronger than the forces around us. The King is more powerful than even the waves against us. like the psalmist says in Psalm 4, I can lie down and sleep because you will keep me in safety. Our reliance upon God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Nothing in the realm of nature can stand against the power of the King. Who is this then that even wind and sea obey him? And the disciples are in awe of his power. It is that same King and ruler over nature that is our King. It is that same King, when the waves seem to come against us, that we can turn to and know that he will bring peace in his time. Peace, be still. Jesus' power over the realm of nature. Not only is he the King over the natural realm, he is the King over the supernatural realm. The next story follows right along with this one. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country that they were going to. And when Jesus stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. This man not tormented by external forces, this man tormented by internal forces. He had lived among the tombs. And no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart and broke the shackles in pieces. They too had tried with the best of worldly wisdom to deal with this demon-possessed man. They had him living among the tombs. This was their version of solitary confinement, taking the man away from the regular population and living among the dead. They tried to bind him with chains. That was the worldly wisdom for dealing with demoniacs. They were flailing. They were going on and on. They would bind them externally to try to heal them internally. The best of worldly wisdom. But no one could bind him anymore, for he broke the chains asunder. Verse 4 says, no one had the strength to subdue him. No one except the King. Then he comes in contact with Jesus. This man in bondage, an internal bondage to Satan, a picture of hopelessness, dwelling among the tombs, living with the dead, unable to be bound anymore, day and night hurting himself, bruising himself with stones, and then he comes in contact with Jesus. Demon sees Jesus coming from afar off, and he runs and falls down before him, and crying out with a loud voice, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me. He was afraid. The demon's afraid because of what Jesus might do next. And Jesus speaks to the man. He asks him, what is your name? He replies, my name is Legion, for we are many. This was not one demon. This was not one simple solution, but he was bombarded with internal turmoil, bombarded with a legion of demons taking over him. And Jesus, hearing about this bondage, Jesus commands them, come out of the man. He speaks the word, and it is salvation for the demoniac. He speaks the word, and this one who was bound for years is now set free. No one had the strength to subdue him. No one but the King of Kings. Jesus sends these demons, this legion, out to a great herd of pigs. The demons say, don't send us away from the region. Instead, send us into the pigs. And Jesus gives them permission, verse 13. And the unclean spirits came out, entered the pigs in the herd, and the numbered about 2,000 rushed down the steep bank into the sea and were drowned in the sea. They demonstrate their ultimate end for this man by what happens to the pigs. Their ultimate goal was to destroy him. And yet Jesus sends them out to the pigs, and the pigs, these 2,000 pigs, suddenly run down to the sea and destroy themselves. The power of the King over internal forces, over those things that torment us inside, not the external forces of nature, but the internal forces that we face. The temptations, the trials that Satan sends our way, those things that eat us up inside, and even the very best of human effort that we offer is not enough. And the temptations seem to overwhelm us internally. And yet Jesus has the power over that bondage. We are internally overcome with anxiety, with worry, with fear about what tomorrow might hold, with fear about what might happen in our lives. And we can be eaten up by that. And yet Jesus speaks the word. And just as He brought peace to the sea, He brings peace to the man. He gives that internal turmoil calm. Peace, be still. Internal sorrow, internal anger, frustration. All of those things that left unchecked will chew us up inside. And yet Jesus is more powerful. The power of the King to bring peace. We don't look to ourselves, to the best of human wisdom, to figure out how to fix the problem. But we look to King Jesus, knowing that He is the God of our salvation. He is the one who met our deepest need, the need to change our hearts internally from hearts of stone to hearts of flesh, from hearts that hated Him to hearts that now love Him. If He was able to perform that great miracle, the King can continue to care and keep His people, even in the midst of internal struggle and trial and hardship. Jesus is King. He is there, and He comforts us. This power over the supernatural realm is reported to those in the countryside. And there are really two responses that are given. Verse 14, the herdsmen fled, told to the city and the country, and the people came to see what had happened. And they came to Jesus, they saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion sitting there, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. They heard about the demon-possessed man and the pigs, and asked Jesus to depart. I'm amazed that little phrase is included. They heard about the pigs. This was a huge financial loss for the owner of the pigs. 2,000 pigs suddenly rushing off into the sea. And the people hearing about this, and they're afraid of what might happen next. What else might it cost if the King remains in their region? What other price might they incur if Jesus shows His power and authority? And in light of that, they ask Him to leave. They don't want a King who will cost them something. They don't want a Lord who will require something from them. They'd rather have nothing. What about us? Jesus claims kingship, claims lordship over our lives. And yet that may cost something. It may cost friendships. It may cost relationships. It may cost family members. When we are committed to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and yet having Jesus as King, having Him as Lord, is worth any cost in this world. They didn't want the cost. When they saw what it might cost them, they asked Jesus to leave. And one of the saddest parts of this story is Jesus gives them exactly what they ask for. He leaves. They will not embrace Him as King. They will not love Him as Lord. They say, "Leave us." And Jesus leaves. God gives them exactly what they ask for. And they are not a part of His glorious kingdom. That was one response. Then there was the response of the man who was healed. Verse 18. And as he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged that he might be with him. He wanted to stay with Jesus. He wanted to go along. What did Jesus say? He did not permit it, but said to him, "Go home to your friends. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how He has had mercy upon you." This one wanted to leave, wanted to go with Jesus. And Jesus says, "You have to stay and tell others what has happened. You have to stay and tell others about the Lord and what He has done for you." For those of us who know the kingship of Jesus, who know His lordship in our lives, we are charged with the task, not of, first of all, going off to a foreign region, but beginning at home, beginning with our friends, beginning with our classmates, beginning with our co-workers, telling them what the King has done for us, telling them how much the Lord has done for you, how He has had mercy on you. We talked about this morning, forgiving $1 million debt. Telling our family, telling our friends of the glory of following King Jesus. Oh, it might cost something. There was a cost to those who owned the pigs. But the glory of knowing Him as Lord, knowing Him as Savior, everything else pales in comparison. The power of the King over the kingdom. Do you know Him? Do you know this Jesus? The one who is able to still the storms. The one who is able to still the internal storms. Trust in Him. He is the one who, in the midst of all the trials, the tragedies, the disappointments of life, He is the one who is able to say, "Peace, be still, and care for His people." Trust in that great King. Let's pray together. Lord our God, in the midst of the storms of life, we can so easily take our eyes off You. We look at the wind and the waves and the billows, and we try our best, and we finally say, "Lord, don't You care if we perish?" And with but a word, You bring peace. For those who are troubled externally, O God, with various pressures coming upon them, we pray that You would bring peace tonight. For those who are wrestling internally, with anxiety, with doubt, with fear, with anger, with sorrow, with depression, will You, O God, bring peace? For You are the King who is able to do all things. Tonight we pray, O God, that having heard from Your word and having heard about Your power, that later this evening we might lie down and we might sleep knowing that You are in control. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.